encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah! Wow, praise the Lord. I was there with my brother a moment ago, and I said, tonight is a night of worship. We just want to love the Lord. We just want to honor the Lord. And so it's not a night of revelations. I'll just be sharing very briefly, maybe 10 minutes. So we allow Sister Molly to come stir us and lead us, you know, to higher places in the Spirit. My spirit is already being charged and being blessed. And so, it's not a one night. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's something happening in the music world. Sound is supposed to be one of the weapons of war in the last days. But the devil is trying to corrupt sound. So the gatekeepers that he has entrusted sound to, they are deviating and becoming secular artists. They may not be singing worldly songs as it were, but music is not just the lyrics. Yes, the lyrics convey the reality, but the vibration is what the spirit travels on. And so because these ones are becoming worldly, the eyes of our understanding are being blinded, because that's what worldliness does. Worldliness blinds the eyes of your understanding. So you no longer access the hope of the calling, the riches that is available to the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power that he wrought when he rose Jesus from the dead. And so when you find pure vessels with the body of God's presence, life and kingdom, like Sister Molly, you want to encourage them, you want to be part of what they are doing, and you want to celebrate them. So one more time, can we celebrate our Lord for Sister Molly Brown and her husband, a man of God, supportive man of God, holding her hands and strengthening her to do what she's doing. Thank you so much. God bless you. Please be seated, everyone. All the ministers that are here, everybody here, thank you so much. God bless you. It will be brief. Just 10 minutes, we'll start worshiping God again. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, we honor you. We love you. We magnify your name. We ask that in these few minutes, you open our hearts, open our understanding, and pour into us, empower us, teach us your ways, and grant us the grace to live out these realities, that our lives will be upgraded and will be empowered to advance your kingdom. Let your name alone be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's a Thanksgiving service, and so I just want to speak briefly on Thanksgiving. Trust me, 10 minutes. I will follow a script. I won't talk by inspiration. There are two things I just want to share with us briefly about Thanksgiving. The reason we thank the Lord and the result or the outcomes of Thanksgiving. When we thank God, the effect, the impact. Because the way you make spiritual things effective is when you engage them with understanding. You can be doing a lot of things, but if you don't have understanding, you can't touch the essence. That's why Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, he didn't pray for God to do anything for them as it were. because he's done all for them already. He just prayed that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may come into that reality. So much more than we can ever imagine is already made available. In fact, Peter, speaking in the same vein, he said he's giving us all things that pertains to life and godliness. What he said, our access to it is through our knowledge, our understanding, our epignosis of these realities. I was listening to a preacher here recently, and he said, everything man ever will need is already made available from day one. God prepared all man would ever need in the first 5 days before creating man on the sixth day. God is not creating anything again because everything is already available. And Ephesians 1:3, the Bible made us to understand that it's giving us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Our understanding is what transports them to our realm. And so before I share with us few things that Thanksgiving makes available to us, it's important to also bring to our attention the fundamental reason we thank the Lord. And it's very simple. It's because God is the one doing everything. We are just recipients of all God has done and is doing. There is nothing we are doing. He's the one doing everything. I just read a few scriptures. I said I will follow a script. It's a burden for some of us who travel. Sometimes you have to flow by inspiration. Because when you get to a place, that territory places a demand on you. The people place a demand on you. So you just have to get used to accessing God and talking as need arises or as the territory demands. But let me explain. Luke chapter 1 verse 45, the Bible says, it said, blessed is he that believeth, or is he that believeth. He said, but there shall be a performance. And the reason I'm reading this scripture is because you are not the one performing. The performance is outside your jurisdiction. Your job is only to believe, and as you believe, the performance takes place. Why am I sharing this? To make us understand everything happening in our lives and everything that will yet happen, the performer is God. It's never us. Because if we're left to deal with things ourselves, we'll see our helplessness. Because many times, when you call for a Thanksgiving service, people can't even see the reason why they should thank God. Because they become used to a successful life that they assume many things are happening spontaneously. Nothing happens spontaneously. The Bible says he sustains all things, not some, all things by the word of his power. The reason you breathe now is because he's sustaining all things. The reason you are able to do what you are doing by your own physical ability is because he's sustaining all things. Now, the way God created the world is so much interwoven into him that if he violates creation for a moment, everything will collapse. Do you know that if God were to lack want, the whole world will crash? Because everything is built on his word. The veracity of his word is what keeps creation. If God lies today, yesterday will disintegrate, and tomorrow will never come. That's why God can never lie. It's not just about character. The earth stands on his reality. And in that vein, we are also mandated to understand compulsorily that everything happening in our lives is an outworking of God's law, faithfulness, and abilities. In fact, in Psalm 127 verse 1, the Bible said, except the Lord build the house, he said, they labor in vain. That means, even where you think you are laboring, is because God has gone ahead of you to build. If God didn't build, your labors will be in vain. If you don't know these things, you will not appreciate reality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. He said God gave the increase. You know, many times we get so carried away by our impute that we forget to appreciate God for his own impute. I came to realize that if God's impute were not to be there even before you started, your efforts will be futile from the beginning to the end. He said, I planted. It looked as if I did something. He said, Apollos watered. He said, but God was the one who gave the increase. That means if God were not increasing, both planting and watering would have been a waste. Meanwhile, you will be on this side of the physical realm, assuming that there's a lot of agricultural intelligence required to plant at the right time, to apply the right proportion of fertilizer, to monitor it, to weed. He said, if God does not give the increase, all of that agricultural prowess will be a waste. He said, I planted. Now, he was talking on the subject of soul winning, but of course, he's using agricultural realities to define spiritual reality, so it affects the whole context. In John 15 verse 5, Jesus summarized it by saying, without me, you can do nothing. That means what you are doing is nothing without God. What you call something, in reality, is nothing. What makes your something something is because God calls it something. If God does not call it something, your something will be nothing. See, you should be humble. See, when you see God, life itself will humble you. Because many times, you will be carried away to think it's because of the way you are doing what you are doing. Then you will see somebody that is doing it better than you are ever doing, not having the results you are having. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So your everything is nothing without God. The reason your little becomes so much is because God has his impute. And so 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24 said, God is faithful, who has called us and who is also able to do it. So, summarily, the reason we thank God is because we conclude that every positive, great, and good thing happening in our lives is happening because God is the one making it happen. Now that we understand this, I was teaching them in Sunday last week, and I was teaching them how to doctor their words. Because there's a way, if you have understood a spiritual reality, there's a way you monitor, manage it, so that its efficacy is sustained. So now that you know God is the one working out glory in your life, there are many things you need to do in order to keep it. But one of the most potent is thanksgiving. So when we thank God, beyond the gratitude that we share, there are many things that happen because of that thanksgiving. And I just want to point out a few of it, so that as Sister Molly comes out to thank God for her life, and to also help us thank God for our lives, just in case we've not realized it. You know, if you realize this, you will be thanking God every minute. For example, I was held up in a meeting a moment ago before coming here. And they are women, and they are elderly women. In fact, the ministry, they've been on it for 40 years. This is their 40th year. So you know those kind of women, while we are talking, they say, kneel down, let's pray for you. They are not ministers, they are mothers. And they know they are. So, you too, you just go there to be blessed. So, they trapped me there. And the point I'm trying to make, have you not gone to see? It's easier to deal with fathers. When you start dealing with mothers, they now sit down, they start advising you. While you are here doing what you are doing as a guest minister, they start rebuking you. Because they are mothers. The point I'm making is this. Before we rounded up, we prayed for the sick, and a woman testified. And she said, her right breast, she's had this pain for many years. It's so excruciating that nobody ever makes the mistake of touching it. And when we prayed, the pain was lifted instantly. And she came out excited about it. And when we went into the car driving home, I told Pastor King, wow, that testimony got my attention. And the Lord asked me, which one didn't get your attention? Which one? Is it the headache that you could do? Or is it the other? I had to say, okay, sorry, Lord, sorry. I now said, as I rush home to quickly change and shower and come back, I will thank the Lord. Bro, I've not thanked him. Standing here now preaching, I'm going to be hoping God will touch somebody. I've not thanked him. That's why I told you that as Sister Molly helps us thank God, in case we have not. You can become so used to the benevolence of God. And this is why many times we are stagnated in life. Because there is a power that thanksgiving engenders. And I give you just four of them very quickly. Number one, thanksgiving provokes increase. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19, the Bible told us, it said, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And he said, I will make them great, they shall not be small. I will increase them, they shall not be few. And so the power to make great, the power to make continuous increase is tied in thanksgiving. Many times, we exalt certain spiritual things because they are emphasized regularly. And we forget the potency that other spiritual things that are not emphasized periodically or regularly carries. For example, many people, when they think of progress in life, all they think of is prayer. They wake up 12 midnight, they are praying all day long. And that is good. But there are things only thanksgiving can do for you. There are things that just lying down to say, Lord, I'm grateful, can do that your 40 days fasting will never be able to do for you. This is why it's important to teach the whole counsel of God. And the scriptures are revealing to us tonight that the easiest way to step into increase is by consciously, progressively, and continually thanking God. In fact, make it a lifestyle. If you can do that, he said, unexplainably but undeniably, there will be increase in your life, and that increase will be consistent. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible said they thanked the Lord daily. And he said, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. So two things you pick out from there is that if you want God to become a co-laborer with you, thank him. And if you want your increase to be daily, what provokes daily increase? Not just daily increase, but daily increase according to proportion is by thanking God. He said he added daily to the church such as should be saved. Who taught the apostles these mysteries? Now, this was a church growing in the middle of persecution. They were having services under cage. But under cage, they were exploding. And when you follow the progression in the book of Acts, it will overwhelm you. The first time Peter spoke, he said 3,000 was added to the church. The second time, he said 5,000 was added to the church. The third time, he said a great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. The fourth time, he said the whole city went to them. How did they enjoy such a progressive increase? Because their mouth was full of thanksgiving. The reason believers pray but never see increase is because they are used to telling God their problems and they've not thanked God for what He's already done or for what He will yet do. And so, through Sister Molly tonight, we have the opportunity of being reminded of the power of thanksgiving and also walking out of here by making it a lifestyle. Number two, thanksgiving engenders deliverance. And it engenders deliverance faster than prayers does. You know, when you are praying, you are trusting God. When you are thanking God, you have trusted God. There are two different things. When you are praying, you are believing God to do it. When you are thanking God, you have already believed that God has done it. So one is ahead of the other. And so when Paul and Barnabas and Silas were thrown in prison in Acts 16:25, the Bible said at midnight, they rose up, they prayed and thank the Lord. The moment he said they thank God, he said the place where they were was shaking. The angel descended, touched the foundation of the prison and broke it open, and liberty was engendered. If there is something in your life you don't know how to attack or fight with prayer, just thank the Lord. Thanksgiving is a multi-vocabulary in the spirit. Multi-vocabulary. The dimensions of utterances communicated through thanksgiving are many. One of my friends was teaching the other time and he said, there's too much to pray about. Summarize it with holiness. In the same vein, there's too much to communicate through prayer. If you don't know what to say, thank God. God will use that thanksgiving to become an excuse to do what you cannot do and to do what you don't even remember to ask Him. That's why thanksgiving becomes a weapon of deliverance in the spirit. Number three, thanksgiving creates an atmosphere for the miraculous. I know it personally. When I started traveling very frequently, I noticed that my momentum and energy level would usually be depleted when I have clustered meetings. Because these people, they draw everything out of you. Even if they followed your last meeting, which was less than 24 hours ago. If you come for the next meeting, they don't care. You've been to another place. The hunger, the expectation level is always high. And even when you are done teaching with intensity and doing the impartation, as you are going, they are still dragging things from you. If you are not paying attention, they bring a seed. They must pull something out of you. I realize if I have 4 meetings, the first meeting will be very intense. The second meeting, it begins to deplete. And I said, no. The part of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The latter glory should supersede the former. How come my own is depleting? And God said, you need a lot of technology. And so one of the things God taught me, in addition to intensity, is to have thanksgiving. And so when I come to a place where I cannot sense energy, I switch into thanksgiving. If I thank God, I see much more result than I saw when I was operating at a high intensity. It's a mystery. It creates an atmosphere for the miraculous. So if you want your home, your job, your business, or your environment always to be ripe for the miraculous, saturate it with thanksgiving. I show you what Jesus did in John chapter 6 from verse 11. Now, Jesus was with these guys teaching them for 3 days. You would expect that now the word of God was being taught continuously for 3 days. That place will be charged. But there was a measure of miraculous propensity that the word did not produce. And the moment Jesus needed to feed 5,000 men with nothing, literally nothing, what can 5 loaves and 2 fish do among such a hungry people? The Bible says Jesus collected it. He lifted up his eyes and he thanked the Lord. The moment he thanked God, that was all the prayer. He said, take, give to them. There was no record that he said anything else. Take, give to them. You will notice the moment Jesus thanks God, he begins to command. Same thing happened in John 11 verse 40. When Jesus came to the tomb, they were weeping. If you were here, our brother would not have died. Where is he? Himself wept, nothing happened. People who believe so much in crying. Crying is good, it helps you open your emotions so that you can pray. But Jesus himself wept, nothing happened. And he wept seriously. It was a serious weeping that was captured. It was on record. Jesus wept, the dead remained dead. But he showed up to the tomb. And he lifted up his eyes. And he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. The moment he thanked the Father, he now, solution had come. He said, this thing I'm doing is for them. Now that I've thanked you, I know the answer is guaranteed. And he said, roll the stone. Lazarus, comfort. The moment you thank God, the atmosphere becomes pregnant for the miraculous. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Many don't know it. So they are trusting God. They are going for retreats, which is beautiful. They are going for impartations, beautiful. They are fasting, beautiful. But they never thank God. Meanwhile, here was the master, the pattern man, teaching us how these things work. Have you not known or noticed that most of the ministers of God that always carry the miraculous are either given to intense worship or intense praise, because they know how to pull down the glory? If you start praising and thanking God, you prepare the environment for possibilities. That's why even the courts of heaven, there's no prayer there. I told somebody, I said, the everlasting priesthood is not prayer, it's worship. When you go to the courts of heaven, the 24 elders are not praying. There's no record that they were praying in the throne room. There's no prayer in the throne room. In the throne room, only worship takes place, because the glory of God must permeate that environment. Does this in any way reduce the place of prayer? No. But it also tells us that prayer is not the only way. There are many spiritual things that are made available for our advantage. Thanksgiving is one of them. And finally, thanksgiving makes us whole. It's different when God answers your prayer than when God makes you whole. When God heals you, it's different from being made whole. We saw in Luke chapter 17, verse 17, 10 lepers came to Jesus. All of them were healed, but only one qualified for being made whole. When a leper is healed, the wound dries up. The pain is gone, but the hand that was eating up remains eating. When the guy showed up to thank the master, Jesus was careful to ask him, where are the nine? That means God expects thanksgiving. And another thing you will see from that scripture is, in the realm of men, it's only 10% that thank God. Every 90% always forget to thank God. Where are the nine? They don't remember to say thank you. You come to a church of 100,000. Check. If that church is doing well, only 10,000 will be full of thanksgiving. Because it's always 10% that remembers God. But the lesson to draw here is this. When the man came to thank God, the power that Jesus could not generate through a prophetic word, he generated through thanksgiving. He said, now you have been made whole. Go. So being made whole is a product of thanksgiving. And trust me, to be made whole is superior to being healed. There are interventions you receive that addresses a situation only in one aspect of your life, but there are many more aspects that you may not even have the vocabulary for in prayer. But when you thank God for the little he has done, you will be shocked that the big one that your faith cannot handle, God will make it whole. I came to realize that there are realms God goes to with men that is beyond faith. The Bible told the story of the poor widow in 1 Kings 17 verse 4. When Elijah met her, the woman had given up on God. She trusted God, she waited on God, there was no answer coming forth. So she now came to a conclusion. This little one remaining, I will prepare it and eat and die with my son. We waited on God, God didn't show up. Since the drought started, we prayed for 2 years. All our savings are finished. This is the last one. And we are not trusting God for intervention anymore. We want to eat this one and die. Elijah said, no, it will not finish. So there is a realm you get to that even when your faith fails, God's faithfulness remains intact. And this is why when things overwhelm you, add thanksgiving to it. Thanksgiving will make you whole. I pray for somebody here tonight. If there's an area in your life that you require increase, because you will participate in this procession of thanksgiving, that increase comes to you now. I pray for somebody here tonight. If there's an area in your life or of your life where you require wholeness, as we lift our hands to thank God tonight, the Lord will not just intervene, but he will make you whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray if there's an area of bondage where you require deliverance, as we worship God tonight and thank the name of the Lord, that deliverance comes to you immediately. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I bless you with the blessings of God. And I decree that this gathering will not be the last. God will take it from glory to glory. And the time will come where this gathering will attract everyone that is an arrowhead over a generation. Because the light of God will shine upon everyone here tonight. And particularly we pray that his hand will be upon his daughter, Sister Molly, and he will take her from glory to glory. Tonight it is called a Thanksgiving night. But very soon it will become a train that carries the move of God from one territory to another. And that train will bring the glory of God to territories, to cities, and to nations. We decree that the resources will not be lacking. We decree that visibility is granted from today. And we decree that the energy of the Spirit that will make it happen comes upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And as you blow the shofar from territory to territory, it will open gates for possibilities of the Spirit to begin to happen. And very soon, it will become another aspect of Shiloh where men will come to see the Lord. Because this is declared a mountain of encounter. And so we decree that it's from glory to glory. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you so much. God bless you.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.